Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Howdy. When we talked
all night. All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. I hope that this podcast finds all of you safe, healthy, and sane. This is a crazy time, you guys, and I know that Thanksgiving's around the corner. It's actually tomorrow. This is Thanksgiving Eve. And I know that people have been out of work for a long time. This has been a very difficult time, a very difficult time for a lot of people. People aren't able to see their families. They might not be able to catch up with them on Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, while it's just a Thursday, really, it does hold some sort of sentimental value and can bring up issues that make people sad. If you live in Austin, and you're feeling like you're hitting some crisis, if you live in Travis County or in the Austin area, call 512-472-HELP. That's 512-472-HELP. That's a 24-hour, 7 days a week crisis hotline here in Austin, Texas, to help those of you that are dealing with mental issues, especially during this time. If you do not live in Austin, I suggest you look up, Google the hotline in your area, and reach out to someone to talk to. If you can reach out to a friend, do what you can, you know? I don't know what your plans are for Thanksgiving. I know that they've kind of shut this thing down, and the CDC is like, hey, don't go anywhere because the spread is going nuts. And it's getting a little bit freaky out there. It really is. I'm actually dog-sitting for a friend. That's why this podcast sounds funny. I'm in their house, and they have this huge, you know, really high ceilings and stuff, so there's a lot of echo. But I'm dog-sitting, and I'm hanging out with this greyhound named Trace, who's watching me right now because he's like, hey, aren't you going to make me breakfast? But I'm hanging out alone on Thanksgiving with this dog and just chilling out. And you know, if you gotta do, you gotta do what you gotta do. If you have to see your family, you gotta do it. Try and do it as safely as possible. Good luck to everyone out there. I hope that you all have a very safe and very, very good Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for a lot of things. Thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Skyrocket. Thankful for the ability to make music. I'm thankful for the ability to come out and talk to you guys every few days and bring you conversations with amazing bands. And today is no different. I have a great show for you guys today. Honeymade, a 9-piece band from here in Austin that plays mostly like funk, soul kind of music. They just put out a brand new album, and in fact, it is called Brand New. It's produced by the legendary producer Steve Berlin, engineered by Jim Valentine. They are a 9-piece band, and I was lucky enough to have 3 of the dudes on there. Lee Braverman, the bass player, Donald McDaniel, the trombone player, and Chris Barnes, the drummer. All were able to come on the show. We talked via Zoom. It's fantastic. We talked about making the album, working with the great Steve Berlin, how the band came together, how the band caught Steve Berlin's eye, and how they're dealing with releasing a record under quarantine with this crazy, crazy, crazy coronavirus out there. Anyway, Lee, Daniel, and Chris and I have a fantastic conversation about their band, about their music, how they make the music, how they put it out, and what they're doing under quarantine to spread the word about this fantastic album called Brand New. I suggest you check it out. You can find them at honeymadeatx.com. So without further ado, I hope that you have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy my conversation with Lee Braverman, Donald McDaniel, and Chris Barnes from Austin's Honeymade. Let's get down.
Thank you.
All right. So, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Marvelous.
What an amazing thing to get to work with the great Steve Berlin.
It sure was.
Yeah. You want
great
to talk?
Experience.
Yeah? How did you guys meet him?
Well, we met him through a friend of the band's who worked with 9 Mile Records here in Austin.
Uh-huh.
During South by Southwest 1 year, they made the connection with us, and it kind of just grew from there.
Excellent. Excellent. And did he come out and see the band, or did you guys send him demos, or what did you do?
He came out and saw us during South by Southwest.
Okay, so he saw the band. I've never seen you guys, but I would imagine that it must be pretty joyous, because the one thing that I got straight off the bat, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and sorry, I'm going to monologue for just a second, and then you guys are welcome to talk. I don't know if you guys saw that Prince Sign of the Times New Year's Eve concert that they streamed.
Of course.
So When I saw that, I was like, oh, man, because so when he left the straight-up band of The Revolution that was like a rock band, all of a sudden he went into the Sly and the Family Stone Parliament Funkadelic model where you hear different voices coming. You know what I mean? People got something to say, and it's a whole like thing like that. And I got that really strong from Chicken Sweat. Like, just right off the bat, I was like, okay, I know what these guys, you know. It's like a family band.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Actually, my older brother is the lead singer.
So. Oh, there you go. See? So it is a family band. you guys want to tell me a little bit about how you got together? Because you guys have been around for a few years. You've done some really big shows. You've actually played with Parliament Funkadelic. Mm-hmm. And you want to tell me how this band kind of came together?
Yeah, we've been together for about going on 7 years, I'd say. And we started off as Mama K and the Shades.
Uh-huh.
And we had a female singer, Mama K. She ended up leaving the band a couple years ago. And our saxophone player, David McKnight, he passed away a few years ago also. It was a rough time. But he kind of handpicked every single person to be in the band. He'd go to shows and watch and be like, yeah, I want that guy. And come to this other show and be like, yeah, I want that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just put it all together. He played for a few bands, like Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears. He's with them and a few I can't name right now. But he just picked us all out individually, and we just started jamming. The first day I ever met Lee was literally in a practice room, just complete strangers like, well, let's start playing. And we started playing again, and our eyes lit up. And we're like, oh, yeah, this is it right here.
Yeah. I think it's fortuitous to have both of you guys on here because in the rhythm and blues, soul, funk place, the guys that start the whole thing off, obviously in any music, but it is just, you cannot do the kind of music you do without the bass and drums having some kind of like spiritual connection, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of became natural, and the idea of the band started as a much smaller group when McKnight was around. We kind of wanted to do something different and not have a guitar player.
Hey, you know, Lee, just real quick, can you just turn yourself up just a little bit?
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate to do this to you listeners.
Okay. No problem.
Oh, no, great. Yeah, now you're up there. Okay.
So when we started this band with McKnight, he kind of wanted to keep it different and not have a guitar player because in Austin, every band has four guitar players.
Yeah.
He played saxophone and keyboards, so the idea was more of sort of a jazz combo makeup playing funk rather than a big band, which it sort of became. We only had one horn at the time. We didn't have a guitar player, and so it really was rhythmically driven. So me and Chris were kind of creating the sound together, having not played together. Our sounds melded into this one rhythmic groove.
Right. Right. And so when did you guys start adding all the people?
It kind of layered on as we grew and we started writing more and more. And we said, well, it'd be nice to have this. And McKnight really got into the idea of writing these 3-part horn pieces rather than having him. And so we brought in a trumpet. We brought in Donald on trombone and eventually added a guitar player. And now we're kind of back to, we have a keyboard player who plays keyboard and guitar, so we usually have one or the other in the song rather than a huge harmony section.
Right, right. I think that leaves a lot of room for the horns and for the, because you have pretty sophisticated harmonies going on in the background. That I wrote down one of them. Yeah, Stepping Out. That one has some, like, those backing vocals are killer, man. Like, yeah, they're very classic, like, 70s R&B, you know?
That is very much just ripped away from Rick James.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like, he has a song, Busting Out. We're busting out.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
We're stepping out. We're busting out on that serious funk. And stepping out.
Yeah. So you guys big Rick James fans?
I am.
You are?
I am the, yes, he is my spirit animal.
Really?
Yes. Growing up, I was all about Michael Jackson and Prince. And the older I got, I started getting into Rick James. Like, there'd be no Prince without Rick James. He put him on first. And so once I got into that, you know, Dave Chappelle, I thought it was hilarious. But I actually started getting into the music. I was like, man, this guy kills it. I love Rick James.
You know, apparently before he died, he would answer the phone and say, I'm Rick James, bitch. Like, he loved it. Apparently he really, really loved it. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I've always had a tremendous, like, respect for that dude. I was talking to somebody the other day about him and talking about how, like, I want to say, like, it was, like, 1986 Farm Aid. He did a solo set on the piano. Like, he played, like, maybe three or four songs. But it was like, I remember that was the moment where I was like, oh, shit.
He single-handedly saved Motown Records. They were going bankrupt.
Really?
So they signed him, and he brought him out of the dust.
So, so who did you first get into? Like, who was your first guy on drums that you, like, why do you play drums, Chris? That's a weird question.
I started out in church. My older brother, the lead singer, he was a drummer before me.
Okay.
And I would just watch him. And eventually, I have my uncle, Everett Harp, who's a jazz saxophone player.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just want to be like someone in my family. My brother was already playing drums. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll just play saxophone. Why not? So I joined the school band, started playing saxophone. And one day my director was like, stop that. Go to drums. So I started playing. So I started playing the drums, and then I just caught the bug. And then eventually I would just play every day for hours. And so my older brother, Willie, he was just like, well, I'm putting my sticks up. And wow. I just kind of took over.
Yeah. Yeah. What were your first, like, was that here in Austin?
We're from the Houston area.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever play out there?
We've been out there. Honey Mae's been out there a couple times.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, back then, did you play any places? Like,
oh, just church, okay. Mostly.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lee? Why do you play the bass? Although you do have a sweet green Telecaster behind you, I can see.
Yeah, so I grew up playing piano originally when I was real young. My next-door neighbor taught piano, and so it was kind of an easy thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And eventually, I stopped doing that, and years later, decided I want to pick up music again. But kind of like Chris, my older brother already played guitar, and I wanted to play drums, but my parents said, no, choose something different.
Yeah.
And so, not that bass was much quieter in the end, but...
Right, right.
I ended up with bass and sort of immediately fell in love with it and ended up going to school for it. And
where'd you go to school?
I went to school in Salisbury, Maryland.
Oh, wow. Are you from up there?
I am. I grew up in Baltimore County.
Oh, really? How do you, so what brought you down here?
After I graduated school, just wanted to come somewhere where music was a thing that I could at least see every night, if not do. And
right.
Was going to be here for a year and go to grad school. And here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. Look at you now. So that right. you moved here 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2009.
What did you think when you got here?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, my first impression was just overwhelmed walking down 6th Street and South Congress and just hearing music come out of every door. You know, it's hard to know where to start if you don't have any lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you can come here without knowing what to do and end up in like some weird, horrible situation where you're watching some terrible band. You're like, yeah, Austin's really terrible. I thought that before, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but there is sometimes like an overwhelming, like not everyone can play like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Exactly.
No. There's so many. I got here in 2009 also, and just walking around, there's a place called Headhunters.
Yeah.
I was right on Red River. I remember walking by there one day and be like, what in the world is going on in there?
I don't mean that. Yeah, it's not bad, but it's, you know, when you got so many people playing, there's going to be a percentage that are just absolutely terrible. That's the world. Donald, what's your story, buddy?
Well, I grew up in Texas. My dad was really into music and wanted me to be in music. First, he wanted to be a guitarist. And he originally put me on pedal steel guitar, and I kept dropping I forget what it's called, the weight, you know.
Right.
Anyway, they quickly decided the guitar wasn't for me. But I switched over to brass, started out on cornet and played through middle school and high school, and really got into jazz in particular in high school. We had a big jazz band, and ended up being a music education major and a band director for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
But I kept playing the whole time. I hadn't had a chance in my younger days when my kids were growing up, but I got to Austin, they were growing up, and I had time to play. I remember the first gig I did was doing some tracks for all-girl band, looking for a trombonist, just to lay down some introductory tracks and some licks behind what they were playing. Gigged with them for a while. And
who was it?
I'm trying to remember that. It's named after an Indian, one of those Indian goddesses, but I can't remember.
So not Morningwood.
No, not really. And then it came an opportunity. The next project I was involved in was a band, indie rock band called the Tiny Tin Hearts. You know, Seth Ransom, and we had a pretty good run. We went to South by a couple of times during that time, played the Austin Hot Sauce Festival, won a couple of competitions. And I think it was in the fall of 2014, that this opportunity with, at the time, Mama Kay and the Shades come up with David McKnight looking for some other horn players. And I've been with this band ever since. So yeah, I'm band director, music education, playing horns, and did my master's at University of North Texas, a big jazz school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So who does bring the jazz in a song like Steppin' Out? Like, who brings those very expensive chords to the table?
So that's me and McKnight wrote Steppin' Out, actually.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool.
And the second part of it was something that came years later after McKnight had passed. But it started with an idea of his, and me and him used to always go back and forth with all kinds of old school jazz and bebop stuff. And I think actually, Chris, this is the one, the middle of it, we just kind of broke down and went to a free jazz jam originally before we wrote that B section.
Yeah, the free jazz. Ooh, that was rough. Acid jazz.
That was all me.
Yeah.
Right there for sure.
Isn't that funny? It's such a specific thing. Like, I've been a musician since I was a kid, but I've not messed around with the jazz. I've listened, and I get it, but it's still, like, I feel like I hear jazz like regular people hear music. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, wow, look what they're doing. You know what I mean? And I was talking to this girl, Harmony Kelly, who plays bass with Kenny Chesney yesterday. And I was telling her I went to this thing where Brandon Temple and Temple Underground played. And yeah. Do you guys know Bobby Keys?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so ooh. Bobby Keys. And sorry. Bobby goes, they asked me to host it. Like, be the guy that brings the people up and down, whatever. That's awesome, right? So Bobby's like, don't you play, man? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want to get up and play? I was like, I don't even know what you guys do. Like, I'm just standing over here on the side, like a rock and roll guy. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I can't. I would just stand there and hold my instrument and be like, what? Is this G or something? You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
It definitely takes a certain, you know, all of you guys came up with that. A bit, didn't you? Some kind of jazzness.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, all of us kind of had a little jazz sprinkling in there.
What do you think is the glue that? Because there's a lot of different flavors happening within the band. There's even like a reggae song, that song Smooth, you mm-hmm. know. And I, whoever it is that also, like, your drumming is also the rock, dun, 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 are very Awesome. Mm-hmm. And whoever has the super raspy voice that comes in at the end of the chorus, you know what I'm talking about, and holds out the note?
That's Willie, isn't that?
That's Willie, yeah.
That guy's got a cool voice. Like, I was so like, oh, yeah, that's a cool voice.
So I think the glue that really makes everyone in this band work is that we all listen to all these types of music, and we don't have just one style that we play, and we all are able to bring different flavors to the band, and nobody's against playing a reggae song in a funk band or something like that.
I guess, yeah, I guess if it keeps, like, there's got to be some thread, though, that goes through it all. Is it, like, the songwriting? Is there like, a core writers, even now that McKnight's gone?
Mainly me and Willie write each song.
Okay.
Some of the stuff the band will write parts of it together or things like that, but it's definitely me and Willie both sat down and had this idea of we don't want to become just one style band and be writing, you know, just soul songs, just funk songs, whatever it might be. And, you know, as long as it's something fun and good to listen to, we're willing to play it in this band pretty much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of collaboration. Like, Willie's my older brother, so he'll have an idea and I'll go over there and we'll knock it out. Then he'll send it to Lee. And then, you know, we'll give it to one of our horn players and they'll write something out. So it's never just like one person.
Yeah. I bet that makes it fun, you know, as long as everyone's got their ego in check, you know, and doesn't get their feelings hurt if their thing isn't used. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, me and Willie always, when we bring a song to the band, you know, feel free to change your parts. And these are the things that we came up with, but right. You guys know your instruments better than us. So,
right.
Well, even Donald here has written a few songs.
Yeah.
All right.
Sunday Groove.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice. Donald, man, let me ask you a quick question about being a band instructor. Like, what's going on with that nowadays?
Well, it changed tremendously, especially in the marching field. That's where you see a lot of the information in Texas. You know, we have to have these bands for these big elaborate things on Friday night and football games, but the core style is really taking over. And there's a lot of jazz influence in these core style bands. The percussion, all the keyboard instruments, if your thoughts are still the old school military marching style, that's not where bands are at all these days. They're
right,
really
right.
Elaborate productions, big drum lines, a lot of keyboard instruments, lots of jazz, and even classical influences in those shows. And then just the whole production with the flags and the and all of that. So it's a
What I meant was like, how are you guys dealing with it now? Like, how
I'm sorry.
How do you do this in 2020 in a pandemic?
Well, if you've seen our stay home sessions, you'll see that we do it remotely.
Okay.
And so, but now we're getting back together. We're trying to take precautions. I've got a special mask I wear when I'm playing horn now. And, you know, the vocalists bring their own mics. They don't use the mics at the rehearsal hall. We try to do what we can to stay safe. Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Oh, no, that's totally okay. Totally okay. Yeah, you guys are playing a release party on Purple Bee TV, which is a streaming thing that'll be on the day that the record comes out, which the record's called Brand New, and it comes out November 6th. I will have said that in the intro. Trust me.
Okay.
Some people are like, man, he didn't even say the name of the album. Well, I did in the intro.
We also are dropping the single, the title track, the single Brand New, on October 31, just about a week
ago. Okay, great. Great. The release party that you're doing on Purple Bee TV that you're going to be streaming, it benefits Sims, which is super awesome. And I'll put a link to it and stuff in the text of the podcast. But you guys are doing that together?
Yes.
Okay, yep. All nine of you.
Yeah.
It's like one more person and you've reached the limit of like a gathering.
Right. Exactly. That's why you can't have a guitar player.
What do you bring? A sound guy?
Yeah. So that's why, you know, this will be the first time it's going to be all nine of us together. But we've done one Purple Bee session with everybody but D-Bone, and it worked out well. And we ended up finding enough room that we could fit him in and make it work. So now we're going to bring everybody.
Yeah. And then you're actually going to go to a place On November 19th, you're playing Far Out Lounge.
Yes.
Yeah. That place was already set up for this. That's like that place in like Cosmic. Whenever I go to Cosmic, I'm always like, these guys knew it. They knew this was coming when they built this.
Yeah.
Who tipped you off?
Yeah. I haven't been far out yet, but they've been doing shows and I've heard that it's been going really well down there. So yeah. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, like, especially like the music that you make is like this joyous music that people come out and dance to and there's abandon. Like, yes. You don't think about rules or, you know, or your problems or any shit like that. And now when you go out and try and have a good time, you got like, hey man, stand over there, keep your mask on. Don't get too into it. You're going to, you know what I mean? Don't get any on me. Whatever it is, you know what I mean?
We were talking about that Monday night, how we're going to have to kind of change up our live show and play to it a little differently because we used to be yelling at the crowd to get up and doing conga lines and all that.
Yeah, we get pretty rowdy, so it's going to be kind of hard to tame it down.
Well, I mean, it must be an interesting challenge to have to sort of like, we have to play a different show, like a calmer funk show. Is that what it is?
It's going to be different.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, Chris is not into the calm funk show. Neither am I.
We're not thrilled either, but it's better than nothing, so we'll make it work somehow.
It is interesting. When you did that live stream, you guys, isn't it weird, like, just having no reaction? Like, you finish a song, and it's just, like, silence?
Yeah, well, we always have our own reaction, so.
Yeah. We can thrive on each other. There's enough of us in there to pump each other up.
That's good, man. That's good. Did you guys have a... I saw that this record was supposed to come out. Was it supposed to come out in April and then you moved it to now because of the pandemic or something?
Well, we just kind of have kept pushing it back and, you know, it got to the point where we were trying to wait till we had a little more funding from live shows and then live shows stopped and... So we had to kind of figure out how to do it without that, and so that delayed it a little bit, but we said it had to come out this year.
Yeah, yeah. Are you guys already working on material? Because you did this a while back. When did you record this?
We recorded this 2-3 years ago.
So 2018, I think.
Yeah, it was the fall of 2017 and our first quarter of 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was finances that kept you from keeping it out or putting it out? Or
partially, but also promotion and getting backing for it. And we had to rebrand, so anything we built up from Mama K and the Shades had been gone as far as that. So
oh, right.
It was more of getting back to where we were to the point of having enough people behind the album to put it out.
Right. Yeah. You guys really have a great cast. You know who I just had on is Tamara. She was on the show couple months ago. She's fantastic, man. Yeah. How many people are able to make it when you play these shows?
Talking about the band live?
Yeah, like, I mean, you got some guest singers. Is Tamara there at all the shows?
No, she's not. We have another singer, another Donald. He came. She was only filling in for a little bit.
Okay.
And then she decided she wanted to start her own band because we were kind of her first band that she was in.
Right, right.
She's like, I like this. She said, I don't want to be a background singer. I want to be the lead.
Yeah, so, after talking to her, I get that.
Yeah, she started a band. She took me with her.
Oh, yeah?
And then, yeah. And so we got one of my good friends, Donald Ford. He sings. He's other singer now.
Okay.
And so he just kind of filled in all her parts.
Yeah. Does it work? Everything kind of works out though, right? People fit in the band kind of adapts to what this person does.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The only song we haven't been able to redo and kind of gave to Tamara was Be True because she rewrote the lyrics to that and that was a very strong female presence song.
Right, right. Tamara, I was saying it wrong. Sorry. Shit.
She's gonna come get you, dude.
And if that's the case, I'm screwed.
Also, you know, you guys worked with a guy that I worked with on a record like 21 years ago, Jim Valentine. And at that point, he was like the guy who used to harass all the time. That was his. That was who he is. He still. You guys harassing him?
Jim is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, we love Jim.
What a great engineer, too, man.
Oh yeah, and those tube boxes that he builds, the direct boxes, are the best thing I've ever plugged a bass into.
Yeah, tell me about going to Treefort. Like, that was that Steve's idea?
Yeah, he said if you're going to record an album, that's the best studio in the country, let alone Austin. So do it there.
And so what? Tell me why that was so great.
I mean, first of all, just the studio itself is phenomenal. It's in an awesome house and really well done. Lots of great instruments, great soundproofing, great equipment. But just also Jack, who owns the place, is one of the nicest.
Yeah,
I mean,
teammate.
I'm a little nerdy, but I really got into the fact that Jack Rock, who Lee is talking about, he put together the preamps, mixers, and a lot of it's from vintage analog gear, tube technology. And I think it gives it a warmth of sound that you don't get otherwise. But then you also have the capabilities of digital production with that studio. So.
Right, but honestly, even in the style of music that you play, this is music that needs to have an organic bass. Like, it's not machine dance music, it's human funk.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Machines don't get smelly after playing for a couple hours.
Yeah, so Steve and Jim both definitely put their minds together to make this album have a very cohesive sound, and they were really adamant on the tones. As we talked about yesterday on another podcast, Chris had a snare shipped in overnight from New Jersey to record that reggae song because Steve wanted that specific snare on that song.
What was the snare, Chris? Do you know what it was?
I honestly don't remember. There was nothing on it. It was just like an old snare. I brought three of my own. He was like, no.
wasn't it a pretty shallow snare, Chris?
It was shallow. The head was pretty loose, like real flangy, flang, which I don't play reggae, but that's what he wanted. I'm not going to argue with the man.
Of course not.
I also remember during recording a lot of the solos, both Jim and Steve would say, well, let's try plugging this into this. And I think actually on that same song, the sax is going through a Moog for the solo.
Oh, really?
And that was all Steve and Jim. So what would happen if we tried running the saxophone through this for your solo? And
so we played,
it was a lot of experimenting and their ideas that, of course, none of us ever would have thought of.
But let me ask you a question. Was it an actual piece of equipment that was Moog, or was it inside of the computer a Moog?
No, it was a piece of equipment,
See,
an actual.
Isn't that just so much more fun?
Oh, yeah. Tracks on the album. I had so much fun with that thing.
Yeah.
There was a broken key on it that if you held it down, it just started to kind of go up in pitch. And we ended up using that in Chicken Sweats.
Okay.
That just, when I would press it at the right time, it would just slide up in pitch and give a nice build
That's
up.
That's awesome. Yeah. There's something about like tactile equipment and sort of committing to a sound instead of like adding, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's because I'm 52 and I grew up with knobs, you know, and faders and shit, and I love them, or if it's just you get old and you're like, that's in a computer now? That sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try not to be like that, but I am. I can't, you know? There's something about real equipment that somehow really gets me going.
You know, up until I think very recently, the tracking on all that stuff just didn't give a natural sound. It just, there was nothing you could do, but it always sounded somewhat artificial.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have these two basically release shows, one being streamed, one at Far Out Lounge. And then what is the next move for you guys? Like, how does a 9-piece band figure out how to navigate what hopefully is a lull in the pandemic?
Well, you know, right now it's focusing on new material and getting this album out. And hopefully more and more places will figure out ways to do safe outdoor shows and there'll be more options. And we just kind of are taking it one day at a time right now. It's hard to predict that far in the future right now.
Right. Yeah, that is tough, isn't it? But staying creative is definitely a thing.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we have to keep writing new music. That's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
We're over halfway with the next album at this point.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Will you guys be playing any of those newer songs at Far Out Lounge or at the release party?
Yeah, there's a couple we've been playing now for a little while. We put out an EP a couple months ago now, and that has a couple of them on there.
Oh, cool.
We have Get On Up, which we did a Stay Home Sessions video of.
Oh, cool. So you guys have stayed busy. You've been able to still do things. I'm in a 7-person band, and like when this happened, we didn't get together until the end of June.
Ooh.
Because it was just too. And then when we did get to the first time we got together, we got a call the next day, a group text from our drummer that was like, "Hey, I feel really bad today. I'm going to go get a test."
Oh no!
And then the day after that, we got the text that was like, "I got it. I got the thing."
Oh wow!
So that kind of freaked us all out, but we eased back into it. But it was like literally the first time we got together, we were all exposed.
Luckily, knock on wood, we've been safe so far.
Yeah. What about you? Are you going to school, Donald?
No. So these days, I was a band director for 9 years, but I've been a CPA and financial consultant for a number of years. So I'm semi-retired now, working from home and doing music and doing some financial consulting from home these days. Yeah,
Dad, that is so cool. That's like living the dream. You know what I mean?
It is fun.
Yeah, like if you need, that's the thing that I work with Awesome Music Foundation, and that people come in for consultations. There's so many people, like their whole goal is they just don't want to have a job and they just want to play music full time. And you're like, well, dude, don't you want to buy shit? Like you can't even buy new gear when you're making, you know, $60 a week or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a different level. Let me ask you this. It must be a benefit to have someone like Donald in the band. On the financial side.
Totally. 100%.
100, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where we'd be without him.
Yeah.
He's got all the forms, the 10 W-9 miscellaneouses, and he's cooking the books. He's a great guy.
Let's not say
cooking the books. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's use a different. He's doing a great job with the books.
They're on fire.
What else? Like any new videos or anything coming down the line or anything for the record? You had one video for a song, right? Or am I
wrong? Yes. Do Ya?
Yeah,
that's one. We're gonna start shooting one hopefully next weekend
for
brand new. If not this weekend, we had to clean the boat.
What does that mean?
We're going to be on a boat.
You're going to be on a boat. Okay. I thought clean the boat was a euphemism for something real weird. Yeah, we had to clean the boat before we do the video.
Dirty boat.
That's a good idea, you guys on a boat in a video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to try to make it real sexy-like.
Yeah. Were you guys also playing like a lot of private parties? Because I noticed that like when you play a style of music, like even a band like Superfonicos, right? Mm-hmm. They play their own music, but those guys are great at like a wedding or a party too, you know? Were you guys doing a lot of that before?
Not a lot, but we definitely did.
Yeah.
Several.
What about, were you guys playing it? Have you guys done a bunch of festivals and stuff around, or have you done like the...
Yeah, actually one of the first things that got this band any sort of recognition was we won years ago as Mama Kay and the Shades a contest to go play Wakarusa Festival.
Oh.
And so we went up there.
Is that in Washington State?
No, that was in Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay.
And so that was the first festival we played, and then we've also done several around here, but you know, we sort of, since McKnight passed and we switched names to Honeymaid, we've been rebranded not as much of a festival band and more of a party dance band.
Okay. Is that good?
I mean, you know,
it's not bad.
Right.
Okay.
It's not anything against them. It's, we are trying not to play them. We're not quite as jammy as we used to be.
Right. Okay. I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that's always, I have a little bit more fun when there's a beef of a song and,
yeah,
you know, and there's something to hang on to. It doesn't, what was the free jazz, like the free jazz thing you were talking about when it, I like it when songs don't normally go into some weird free jazz that upsets everyone.
Yeah. You know that.
Yes.
Before we were consciously thinking of writing music for albums and commercial music.
Right. Hey, so let me ask you just a couple of questions about songs here. Who wrote Be True?
Be True, I wrote the music. Chris wrote the horn parts. And then Miss Matt came in and redid the vocals.
Okay. That's awesome. What about who wrote Steppin' Out?
That was me, McKnight, and Chris, pretty much.
And Chicken Sweat was you?
That was our old guitar player, Johnny Storbeck, and Willie.
Man, there's a lot of moving parts. Like, how do your song splits go? Are they like a lot of writers on this stuff, and are people pissed off because they're not in the band anymore, but their songs are still coming out?
You know, the great thing is that nobody's really got that ego of this is mine.
Okay, and good, good.
Yeah. And if you did have ego, we'd shoot you down real quick. Like, as far as like camaraderie, we're all pretty close, and you know, we just don't put up with bullshit.
Yeah.
It just like, if you want to start something, like, we're going to tell you in your face at that moment, shut it down, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all the songs are honey made songs.
Yeah.
See, I feel the same way.
That's the ultimate goal, right? Like, however it is that you two managed to do it, and REM, like, those guys managed to still, even when that dude wrote that huge song, like, Everybody Hurts, he still split his shit with his dudes.
Right.
Yeah. That's how you keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Well, like,
that's how you keep...
Yeah, never, it really is.
It's never one person who wrote the song.
Right. That's true.
I mean, one thing that we say a lot is, like, if someone writes the song, and they need to say the keyboard player, he's like, oh, what do you want me to play? He's like... You play keyboard. I don't. You just have the chords. Right. So go for it.
Yeah. 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 I really love this album, man. I think people are going to love it. I hope people are going to love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They should.
So much.
Is there anything I'm missing? People can see you're playing a release party on Purple BTV. That's a streaming thing, and it benefits the Sims Foundation, which is a fantastic foundation, on the day the record comes out on November 6th at 8 p.m. And there's links to that on your website, honeymadeatx.com, and then also you're playing in real life at at Far Out Lounge on the 19th of November.
So and digitally it'll be available virtually everywhere you want to get your music. So
that's a great thing about now. Are you guys, you're not doing vinyl or anything like that, right?
Maybe down the line.
Okay.
We are doing CDs, but
okay. Oh yeah. Is that people still buying them?
We'll find out.
Our percussion player is all about cassette tapes for some reason.
Dude. He's like,
you gotta get cassettes.
I have a friend that has a thriving cassette label, and then I'm telling him, like, how does that even work? Like, who? I don't even know anybody who has a cassette. But then he tells me, like, oh, no, you know Ben Buck, the hip-hop guy. I'm like, yeah, he's got a whole fucking thing. And he's just, they're going left and right.
I don't get it. You got to pull your pencil. You got to get your pencil out. And
well, I just don't know where the hell you play it.
Yeah.
Right. Who has a tape player anymore?
I don't know.
I'm going to start a thriving 8-track business. See how that goes.
Now you're getting back in my day.
See, now you're rocking. Man, you know... you know what, Donald, before we go, can I just tell you one of the things that I don't even know how that became a medium for music? Because remember how it would split a song?
Yeah.
Like you'd have like a half song and then it would end and then it would just like
fade flip over to the track. And originally there were 4-track and then they went 8-track. And
that sucks.
It did.
Yeah.
But that was what we had at the time, you know? That was the technology.
I think I even thought it sucked then. Like, I think I remember being like, I'd rather listen to this on the record. There was something on Inner Visions I remember as a little kid one of the songs split. I can't remember if it was Mr. Know-It-All or if it was Living for the City, but one of them had a split and it bummed me out. So
I don't know if I'd prefer that or waiting 4 hours for a song to download from Napster.
All the different mediums. Isn't it weird? How do you guys... Okay, here's one more question before you go. How does a band of nine people handle social media? Is there one person that's delegated to that, or is it...
We have teams. Oh, we have team Instagram, team Facebook, and then Donald here, he's team Twitter by himself.
He there tweets. You go. Solo tweeter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, so it ends up working out, and it's not too much of a hassle for one person that ends up resenting everyone because they're always posting and no one shares it or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not that that happens in the seven-person band I'm in or anything. Well, man, this record is fantastic. Produced by the legendary Steve Berlin, engineered by the legendary Jim Valentine. It's called Brand New. It drops on November 6th. I think this will come out either before it or on November 6th. So it'll be out today. You guys can go to honeymadeatx.com, find out how to see the Purple Bee TV performance tonight at 8 p.m. benefiting the Sims Foundation, and see them live at the Far Out Lounge here in Austin on the 19th of November. Lee, right. Chris, Donald, so great talking to you guys, man. Thank you so much for doing the show, man. Congratulations, and the record's fantastic. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you much. All right, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Bye. See ya.
Yeah, it's Lee Braverman, Donald McDaniel, and Chris Barnes from the band Honeymade. Their album Brand New came out November 6th, produced by the legendary Steve Berlin and engineered by my old pal Jim Valentine. Find them at honeymadeatx.com. And don't forget, you can check them out at Far Out Lounge on November 19th, okay? Hope you guys are doing good. You're staying safe. Hey, gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out honeymadeatx.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. You get new shows every Tuesday and every Friday. And every once in a while, I pepper the week with a From the Vault episode. That's right. I took them out of rotation, and I'm just throwing them out there all willy-nilly. So enjoy that, all right? Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Check out the rest of this song, Brand New, from the album Brand New by the band Honeymade. Let's get down.